I'm your host, David Nage. This is BaseLayer, where institutional investors come to learn about crypto.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the BaseLayer podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Arca, where David Nage is a principal. Arca is not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in the podcast series available for listening. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. The podcast series does not constitute financial advice or other professional advice or services. Please do your own research.
This is David, and this is your new episode of BaseLayer. I have Step Simkin with us, the CEO and co-founder of Squads. Step, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I had the pleasure of meeting Step a while back. Unfortunately, as many of you who are listening know, I also run a venture fund. I was not able to support Step at the time, which literally I want to kick myself in the behind every day that I can. Squad is a multi-sig platform that simplifies management of developer and treasury assets for on-chain organizations building on Solana. They have had a very big trajectory over the last year, year and a half. We're going to talk about why. But Step, as I know, everyone who comes on the show, we always like to talk about what our founders did prior to their current company. So if you could let us know what you did prior to this and what was the kind of the catalyst, the reason why you built Squads?
For sure. So I come from a legal background. I did corporate M&A before getting into crypto. And I think originally I got interested in, like, Squads originally started as, governance tooling. And we actually had a broader scope in the very beginning. And the idea, I guess, my interest in governance kind of started because I have this legal background. I was curious what kind of tooling can be actually built to replace a lot of the, you know, very archaic and inefficient systems I sort of used to work with, because as part of my job, I had to sort of structure asset ownership, do complex transactions. And a lot of it involved, you know, dealing with pieces of paper, DHL around the world for board of directors to sign. And it always felt to me like we can, you know, get to, it's time to get to a more digitized and sort of mature tooling for that to happen. And I was pretty certain what, you know, blockchains can do for DeFi, and I was less, I had less of an understanding around, like, what can it do for sort of my realm. And so I got into crypto around early 2021, sort of more meaningfully, and then I had sort of kind of previous spikes of interest before. Mm-hmm. But early 2021 was the year and time when I actually got into it, you know, to learn about what kind of tooling was out there and, like, how it can change the sort of the landscape I was familiar with, and learn about Solana around the same time, and was sort of looking at the Ethereum space for all the governance tooling, but really felt, you know, right at home when sort of Solana became on my radar, and I've been building there ever since.
So before we get into what Squads is, I think it would be very interesting. We, for years on the show, everyone knows I'm not an Ethereum maxi, I'm not a Bitcoin maxi, I'm a knowledge maxi. I've said that for many, many years. You can go back to the 250 plus shows that I've recorded. But I'm always interested why a founder or team elects one blockchain. Now, Solana is obviously now one blockchain. What about Solana presented you the, you alluded to it just briefly, what about Solana really presented to you the best opportunity set to build something formidable?
I think the main reason in the beginning was that we had a sort of consumer-oriented vision for Squads early on. And even I think the early mockups were mobile first. And so to us, it felt like if you want to focus on consumer, you need, you know, a fast and cheap chain. Mm-hmm. So that was simple as that. And then I think the second big factor for me personally was that Solana was taking off and there were a lot of people looking to build stuff. And there was, like, a great resource to, you know, for talent. And so my co-founder, Sean, and my co-founder, Danny, we kind of really connected. I've known Danny before, but with Sean, we connected completely online. And, like, it was purely out of interest for, you know, what can we do in this sort of young ecosystem that we ended up becoming co-founders. And then Bastian, who ended up joining us full time, was also one of those people from the, like, early days of the hackathon that we just found on Discord. And so I think those two factors were the main ones. And then I think, you know, our conviction to Solana has been tested over time. And every time we felt like it's the right place for us. Also from a standpoint of, like, core mentality of the Solana ecosystem is more business oriented. And I think we also felt more familiar with that, and because, you know, we have like backgrounds in sort of finance, business, and legal. And so it was definitely, you know, the right fit for us.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And so, again, we're going to go into, you know, what a squad is and, you know, what, you know, the components of that are and why this is important. But before we get there, again, this is what we're going to be talking about. You alluded to, especially in your blog and your documentation, that the process of developing a protocol or product in crypto has many unique aspects and challenges that do not exist in traditional Web2 environments. Now, again, with squads, teams can secure assets in a multi-sig and jointly manage their treasuries, programs, validators, native tokens, and any on-chain asset on Solana. I would love for you, before we get into what a squad is and some of the kind of the meat and potatoes, if you will, of what this is, what are some of the major challenges that you, coming from the outside and now obviously becoming an integral part of the Web3, you know, kind of ecosystem, what are some of those unique aspects and challenges that do not exist in traditional Web2 environments that exist here that really kind of encouraged you to build this?
I think the biggest one is I haven't built, you know, Web2 software before, but I'm since became familiar. And I think the biggest difference and the biggest challenge and something that makes it, I think, harder in many ways is that I think particularly if you're building something like we do, where it's about, you know, securing people's money. And so there isn't really any room for error. There's no room for mistake. And I think it's very much closer to building hardware than it is to building software. I think mainly because like you don't have room for mistake, right? Like I think you need to get it right the first time. Otherwise, mm-hmm. It's just not going to work. And so I think this is probably the main thing we discovered, because, you know, once we got to a place where Squad's protocol, we started, you know, looking into formal verification, and formal verification as a measure is usually used for, like, you know, formal verifying parts of like the logic that's used in construction of planes, for instance, that actually fly in the sky. And so that actually makes it much closer to, you know, building hardware and sort of more deep tech than, I guess, building sort of Web2 SaaS. It also has elements of the latter, but I think for us, that's what we mainly discovered, that, like, you know, things can really go wrong. And so you need to invest in security and like treat it as, you know, as deep tech and hardware as opposed to just traditional SaaS.
So we're going to go a little bit into 101 stuff for those that are very well knowledgeable about this. I'm doing this because we're trying to grow the pie here. We're trying to grow the sandbox of people who understand, you know, decentralized and distributed networks, who understand blockchains and all the things in crypto. So we're going to go a little bit of 101 here. So just if you know what this is, don't scream at the podcast, you know, the place that you listen to, and don't, you know, scream into your AirPods. But a multi-sig. The multi-sig is a very core part of squads. So the most widely known example of a smart contract wallet is a multi-sig. They've been around for years, for decades, as the early days of Bitcoin, and are widely used for the purpose of self-custody of crypto assets across blockchains. Why is the multi-sig such a core part of a squad?
I think it's, we actually originally, you know, squads as the platform, as the app, sort of bloomed out of the multi-sig product and like the multi-sig infrastructure at the core. So we actually started with building out, you know, multi-sig, and the understanding that we had initially was that every ecosystem needs a reliable and secure multi-sig infrastructure. I think main purpose it serves is actually allowing a group of people to jointly hold assets together and manage them collectively. We like to sort of approach it as a sort of smaller consensus mechanism amongst different keys, amongst different people. And traditionally, multi-sigs have been used to secure only sort of fundable tokens and NFTs. And we sort of, I think, pioneered the use of multi-sig to secure different authorities, to manage, you know, program upgrades, to manage token metadata, and so on. And so we actually, I think, expanded that pretty well. And then we also expanded it to validator management, right? So you can actually manage validator authority. And so for us, it was really important to, A, build a reliable foundation, which is the multi-sig infrastructure and the protocol underneath. And then once that was solid, we started iterating on the product. And the product really was originally, you know, how can a group of people create a joint wallet and manage fungible tokens together and secure their treasury? And then it expanded towards tokens, validators, programs, and a bunch more things.
Now, I know one of the use cases of squads is for that very purpose, is that I always think of it kind of like the Knights of the Round Table. So you have a group of people, it could be, you know, a few, it could be two or three, four, it could be a number of people out there. And again, this is the multi-sig idea. And again, if you have one that is malicious, if you have one that obviously is, you know, trying to do things that are harmful, you know, what, how does squads play into that? Because again, crypto is a relatively new industry, new technology. When you've had new technology, you've had those that are always trying to take advantage of it and try to screw people around and try to take advantage monetarily speaking. We've seen that play out plenty of times over the last few years. So how does squads play into that when there are people out there who can try to take advantage of things and try to harm other people?
I think it's important to really preface that by the fact that, like, originally multisigs were used by DAOs on, mm-hmm. on Ethereum, and that kind of, I think, led to this sort of understanding that, you know, it's a bunch of people that don't know each other, and they want to remove trust from the equation. So they set this up, you know, for themselves and have a threshold that even if, like, one of the actors is malicious, the threshold, you know, still remains, you know, 4 out of 8 or 5 out of 10. And so even, you know, one or even two actors are malicious, the other signatures would prevent it. I think on Solana and with Squad specifically, we really have focused on teams, institutions, and centralized organizations, right? So for us, multisig is, yeah, there's an element to it where it removes trust, but very much, it's much more about sort of asset security and efficiency as an organization to do your operations on chain. Because majority of our users are teams that work closely together, know each other really well, and are sort of centralized entities that are building stuff on chain. And up until the moment they decide to decentralize, they use our infrastructure, and then they can transition to various sort of DAO tools and give up, as you know, sort of aspects of their asset management to community governance. Right. And so for us, definitely there's, you know, room to prevent malicious actors from within the multisig, but our focus is really more about, you know, if you have an organization that you want to run on chain, you want to manage all these assets, and you want to do it securely and together with your team, this is a way for you to do it through sort of the infrastructure that we build and the app that supports that.
Right. So when you're building a squad, you have the ability to set things like threshold. And that's what I was really alluding to, is that as long as the threshold for approving the transaction is set higher than one, no single member can approve and execute any malicious transactions independently. And so also, if one of your members loses their key or is compromised, again, this is how it works. So not only, you know, can you protect from potential malicious actors, but you also have the ability in the world that we're living in, the UI and UX of crypto, as I've said before, has been difficult for the last few years. That is obviously improving. But, you know, when you actually lose a key potentially, again, this does not become an issue with the way that you have designed squads. So let's walk into creating a squad's multi-sig. Now, again, this is live. We'll have everything on the show notes here. So this is live. This has been live for a long time. How many squads today have been built?
I think across two versions, there's around 20,000 total.
20,000. Wow. That's painful for me to hear, but also it should be good for you guys to hear. So walk me through this. So a user comes in, you know, let's say they're building a new NFT project, for instance. They come in and they come into your environment here. How quickly can they effectively get it set up? Walk us through just a few of the steps, and how quickly from start to finish do you think they can get this set up?
Right. So I think it depends what you're optimizing for, right? If you're optimizing for doing it quickly, the initial sort of deployment is very, you know, it's very simple. You just set a name, set a threshold, add a bunch of keys that you want to be on the multisig and hit deploy. So that takes basically, you know, a couple seconds, and then in 0.025 in Sol. So it's also very cheap to deploy. And then you can sort of up the complexity, and depending on sort of what's your appetite there, right? Because, like, we've got now added permissions to the multisig, right? So you can say that this key can only initiate a transaction, only vote on a transaction, or only execute, or basically any mix of those. Mm-hmm. You can then, I think, like, probably the biggest addition there would be, like, which kind of assets do you want to manage, right? Like, depending on if you want to manage an NFT collection, like transferring authority into the squad, and like if there's a program, if you have a bunch of treasuries, there's also, you know, you can set up different sub accounts. So you can have different addresses for different things. Like if you're an NFT project, you want to receive royalties in one, you want to receive some other kind of revenue, for instance, from the merchandise that you're selling into another account. So you can also, for better accounting, separate all that. But yeah, overall, the deployment is really quick. And then depending on how complex your operations get, you sort of, you know, we can scale upwards together with you.
So again, if those who are listening here, what Stab and the team have effectively figured out is a way to build your company on chain. Simple. where you have your initial participants, you have your team members, they have their roles. As far as I understand, you can set like parameters and roles for them too, right? You know, each member can have, right. So you have roles and you have responsibilities and you have limits. Again, if you're raising money, for instance, and all of a sudden you have a treasury, you know, how you actually expend that treasury is also managed on squads. So I think my question for you, Steph, is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Solana has obviously seen a resurgence over the last few months, especially with the Saga, the phone that came out. And I think there's some news today that we're recording that there's going to be another rendition of the phone that's at a cheaper price point. So more people are going to have access to the phone eventually soon, too. Where do you see squads going over the next 6 to 12 months? Is it solely on Solana? Do you see Solana potentially bridging over to other kind of ecosystems where you start to see maybe the teams from Move start to use squads to build their DAOs? Where do you see things going in the next 6 to 12 months with squads so people can keep an eye out?
So we're definitely staying on Solana. I think the only difference might happen down the line if some of the SVM rollups like Eclipse actually sort of take off and there's a need for multisig infrastructure there, we will consider expanding towards those. But I think overall, yeah, we're staying for the next 6 to 12 months for sure. We're staying on Solana. There's obviously a lot more teams coming in to build an ecosystem, a lot more teams that have been using squads for the last year and year and a half are now sort of launching tokens and transitioning to sort of next stage of their development. And so a lot of our work right now is around supporting those teams and helping, because we also have like a token manager that allows you to, you know, mint a token and manage its different properties. And so there's like a lot of work around there. And then there's also a lot of institutional interest that's sort of resurged in the last couple of months for Solana. And so we're supporting a bunch of sort of venture funds, hedge funds that want to do liquid trading and do stuff on chain. And so some of them are crypto native ones. And so I think with all of that, with all of those factors, like we definitely don't have the bandwidth to think about sort of multi-chain at this point, just because, yeah, Solana, you know, keeps us occupied really well. And yeah, last couple of months also, you know, helped with that.
Awesome. So this was Step over at Squads. Again, we'll have show notes on all the different functions, the use cases, how it works. Again, this is a live product. This has already got 20,000 some odd projects and kind of looking at it, using it in different forms and functions. So this is live. You guys can take a look at it. Step, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have you on at the end of the year and see how the rest of the year treated you.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening in to Base Layer. If you like the show and all the different guests that we've brought on, please give a like and subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you do listen to the podcast. Also, if you want to have a conversation or reach out to me, you can reach me out on Twitter at David J. Nage. And let's talk there. Or also you can find me on LinkedIn. And I look forward to having great conversations with you all about digital assets.